Hey guys, it's Tom. You know, I've been working in front of cameras for about 40 years, and there's one really great lesson that I learned, and that is the importance of skincare. And I'm talking at every age. When we're young, in our middle ages, and as we're aging, it's really important to use a very good skincare line. And I just found Alder New York. Their clean and healthy products have been developed for all skin types and for all ages. I just used the Gentle Cleanser and my skin feels really great. It's not dry and tight like so many other cleansers can make your skin feel. One of the best things about Alder New York is that it's queer owned and operated. So not only will you be able to support the health of your skin, but you'll also be able to support our community. And the folks over at Alder are going to give you guys a great deal. Go on over to our link, which is at www.aldernewyork.com/no2gays about it. And don't forget that /no2gays about it. They will give you 10% off your entire purchase. So take care of your skin, support our community, and save some money. Well, that's a win-win and a win. And there is no two gays about that. We all have that one friend who is constantly crossing the line, or at least pushing it as far as they can. And if you don't have that friend, well, then it's probably you. Welcome to No Two Gays About It, the show for the over 50 gay male, all about things that are important to the over 50 gay male, and, you guessed it, hosted by two men who are over 50 and who happen to be gay. Hi, I'm Tom Burke.
And I'm Michael Foley.
And today, Michael and I are going to talk about boundaries and why so many gay men over 50 feel that crossing those lines really isn't that big of a deal. And yet, it really can be. First, we're going to discuss what are boundaries, what are the different types, and where in our lives do we need to set boundaries. And then we will talk about how and when and why so many mature gay men feel that the rules don't really apply to them and they can do whatever they want. And then finally, we will talk about how we can set specific and healthy boundaries in our lives and what we're supposed to do when other people just don't respect them. It's another important conversation that gay men our age really need to have, and who better to start that conversation than us. So join Michael and me as we set a few boundaries of our own. Okay, Michael, so let's talk about boundaries. First of all, before we can get into it, we have to kind of define what a boundary is. And those are pretty much that line that we have drawn in whatever sand or whatever is around us that we feel is acceptable behavior around us, right? What are the different types of these boundaries that we're setting?
Well, let's start with emotional boundaries, since those are the ones that could trigger us more than any other ones.
Okay, so what's a quick example of an emotional boundary?
Someone saying to me, oh, you look fat. That's obviously going to trigger something in me. And it's a kind of a mean thing to say to somebody.
Okay. But emotional boundaries aren't the only thing that really trigger. I mean, physical boundaries kind of trigger me away. Yeah. You know, I am not a hugger and people are like, oh, but I am. And I'm like, oh, but don't touch. You know, that's crossing my line. Yeah. And that really does set me off. Another type of boundary that's out there are sexual boundaries. This is a big one in our community of over 50 gay men. You know, it's my body. I get to make the rules.
Yeah.
You
don't get to grab my ass.
Exactly.
You know, if the signals are there and you sort of, but you just don't walk up to somebody and randomly grab.
Another real kind of emotional boundary on its own is a time boundary. A lot of people have time limits for all kinds of things in all different parts of our lives. So speaking of that, all the different parts of our lives, where in our lives do we set or need to set boundaries?
For me, it's used to be family. It's not an issue anymore, but family,
well,
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. That's a place that we do need to set some boundaries, especially as gay men. And if you're from a family that is really not pro-gay, then yeah, you need to set those limits. Another really important place to set limits and boundaries are in relationships. Big time,
big
right?
Time. Yeah.
And it's not only setting that relationship between partners of the relationship, but there's also a circle that we're putting around our relationship for others outside not to cross as well.
Right, to communicate to others what that relationship is for the two of you, and then have that respected.
Exactly. Another really important place to set boundaries and limits is in workplace, or in all of our work environments. A lot of people, just because you spend so much time together, feel so familiar with you that they start crossing over those lines.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to hear about what you and your husband did last night, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or for someone to ask those questions. Another really big place that so many of these gay men we're talking about tend to jump right over those lines is in social settings, big time.
Give me an
example
of that. Bars,
parties. Yeah. It is definitely the place where people tend to think that boundaries don't really matter anymore. So let's now discuss all of these different boundaries, all of these different places in more depth. And in like, let's talk about the different types of boundaries that we're setting. These physical boundaries.
Yeah.
Really important.
Absolutely. Especially, I think, for a lot of us single guys. You know, if you're out in a bar environment or you're in an environment that's full of single gay men, there's a liberty that's taken that might not necessarily be appropriate with someone who's not on the same level that you are or in the same place. Or, you know, I don't want it somebody grabbing my ass who doesn't know me.
You know, it's not just single guys. I've talked about this in one of our other shows where I was out with my husband at an event and someone just came up and started, you know, touching me all over, very handsy. I was like, dude, my husband is 2 feet away from me. You know, but again, for whatever reason, a lot of men our age feel like, yeah, it's okay. But as we said, it really isn't.
Yeah, it's so inappropriate. And you never know what somebody's backstory is.
Right.
Like, I know you've experienced too, because we've touched on it in the past, that there was some sexual, assault's not the right word, but there's sexual impropriety in my past.
Right.
And I have a really strict boundary about somebody putting my hands on me that I don't want to because of that. So you never know somebody's backstory or what's going on with them when you just walk up to somebody and paw them.
Right.
You don't know what that brings up. And it should be something that, you know, as we get older, we become more aware of it. And I just don't see a lot of people out there who abide by that rule.
Well, you know, it's not always such a sexual thing either. The physical boundaries that we need to set. Like I said, I'm not a hugger. My family, big surprise, you know, I don't think we ever touched each other or, you know, actually looked at each other in the eyes. So, you know, the way I was raised, I wasn't one of those like, oh, come here. And when people do that to me, I freeze up. I kind of get really stiff and they're like, oh, come on, I'm a hugger. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. And don't put that on me.
Yeah,
and it's not totally not a sexual thing.
No. And that's a very easy remedy because I'm a hugger. And if I'm leaving, I say to the person, I'm a hugger. Is it okay? Like that little moment of seeing if somebody else's boundaries match mine. And if they say, I'm really not, then a handshake works.
Yeah. There are so many other sort of physical boundaries that we have to set. One of them, you know, my husband, Scott, talk about him often, is diabetic. And one of his physical boundaries that he has to keep is he has to always be eating at whatever certain times, you know, to keep his sugar levels or whatever it is intact. And we will be out somewhere and be like, oh, you know, Scott really needs to eat. And I'm like, oh, he can eat later.
Yeah.
No, actually he can't. Otherwise he's going to go into some sort of coma, and then it's on you. You know, so there are all these different types of physical boundaries that we do need to set and be very kind of specific with.
And clear. Just make sure somebody is aware. Like if that person who says to you, oh, he could eat later, say, actually, no, he can't because he's a diabetic and he has to, you know. And then maybe there's that moment of realization for them going, oh, maybe I shouldn't have brushed that off as easily as I did because their boundaries are different.
Most people always, you know, whatever our boundaries have, are very acceptable and respectful. But there are so many people who are not. One big area that we really need to have a lot of boundaries in is in our friendships. And I want to talk to you about this because as gay men, when you are forming friendships with people, there is kind of that unspoken boundary of we're friends, it's not going any farther. Do you find that?
I find for 50% of the people that does not exist. Because in my experience, even if you're on the friendship page, they may not be, and yet they'll conceal it, which to me, I struggle with all the time because it's so unfair and dishonest. And I just wish guys would really wrap their head around the fact that not everybody is going to be into them. And because somebody wants to be your friend doesn't mean you want to sleep with them.
Right. Well, I know I've talked about this as well. In my youth, in my 20s, I had my friend wing girl, Julie, who would, it was like her job to tell everyone, you're just going to be his friend. He's not going to sleep with you. That was male and female. It was great to have that person. But do you feel as a single guy that you need to set that limit when you are meeting somebody new?
It seems like it's an awareness that men should have, but for some reason don't. It seems to have been stunted. I remember this t-shirt in Provincetown back in the 80s that said, hello in Provincetown means let's fuck. And I think but it was funny because it was based in truth, because that's how so many people, gay men, their mind works. If somebody says hello to you and is friendly, they automatically go, ooh, they want to sleep with me. And that's not necessarily always the case. And within 5 minutes, you could tell. So, you know, don't ignore the other person's where they're coming from, because again, it's frustrating. It causes me to shut down and not to let people in, because I've been in that situation often because I am single.
Right.
And, you know, people say, oh, he's single, he's talking to me, something's going to happen. And that's not always the case.
So you have this group of friends that you go to trivia and bingo nights and all that stuff. Did you have to set boundaries or rules with them? I'm just curious because I'm not single and I'm not out there. And I don't understand, like, how do these guys not get it?
Well, these guys do. And that's the wonderful thing about this particular group of guys, because we talk about dating and we talk about other things, and sometimes we get a little bawdy, which is fun. And I think you could tell everybody's on the same page. There's not that one person who is sitting next to you and puts their hand on your thigh or rubs you, or because then I would not put myself in that situation anymore. You know, so for me, I tend to gravitate toward people who you could tell immediately that they're on the friendship page, right?
Yeah.
And then there's that person who is like, oh, I'm not there. But then for whatever reason, you see these little signs as the relationship develops, the friendship develops, that, oh, I don't think they're on the same page. And I know all gay single guys have more than likely been in the situation where you're on the friendship page and they're sort of pushing something else, and you try to be nice.
Yeah.
Because I've said to people, you know, a number of times throughout the course of my life, we're not on the same page, and I just want to be friends. And then what happens with that other person who wasn't on the same page, they just cut you off. It's done. And again, that's what's really sad, because it forces you to close down and not be open, because you should believe somebody if they say, I'm on the friendship page.
And And just because you're saying no to moving forward in a sort of sexual whatever, then they're like, okay, then fuck you, this is over.
Yeah, there's almost that teen mentality that takes hold, and there's a childishness. That was a tough one that comes into play, and you could see it. It's that rejection of the 15-year-old boy who asks out, you know, somebody to the dance, and then they get shot down, and so they have to go away because they're embarrassed. And it's like, there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah, right.
If somebody wants to spend time with you, that's something other than sexual. You know, it's kind of a nice thing.
You would think by this age, you know, we're past that 15-year-old, but I guess
I don't think we ever. I don't think we ever get past that 15-year-old in a lot of situations.
Yeah,
you know, it's always there. It's those wounds that are buried really deep, and just depending on the moment, you know, something comes up, and hopefully, if you're mature enough, you're able to go, "What the hell is that?" You know, and sort of take a look at it and approach it in a healthy way, as opposed to going and running away and not confronting it, because then it will never go away.
Right. So this then takes me over to, you know, boundaries and limits that we're setting in relationships. And as I said earlier, it's not just the relationships between the two people in it, but also this kind of circle that we're drawing around us. Because as a married guy who's been in a committed relationship forever, there are those people who come up to us, or, you know, up to our little bubble, and we're like, well, I'm going to come in and be part of this.
Right.
Or you're going to, like, don't you want to sleep with me? I'm like, no. You know, we have a committed relationship. This is what we have set.
Let me ask you a question. How, when that arises for you, how do you and Scott deal with it? Do you guys confront it and have a conversation? Or do you just separate yourself from the situation?
I'm not following you there.
So let's
what
say
do you mean
somebody
have a conversation?
Let's say somebody comes up to you.
Yeah.
And says, ooh, you know, I want to be part of, let's have a throuple, or let's do a three-way, or implies that to you. Do you confront it directly?
Yeah. I mean, I would be like, oh yeah, that's really flattering or whatever, but no, thank you. More often people just think that come up and be like, hey, let's you and me do it. I'm like, no, sorry. You know, we're in a committed relationship. And they don't always accept that or respect that. Then there's that constant pushing of like, no, but come on, you can't be. There's nobody's in a committed relationship. There's no fucking way a gay guy can. I'm like, what? You know, so yeah, that happens kind of more often than I'd rather.
And then let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Does that person all of a sudden disappear from your life because of, they're like, oh, well, I can't be bothered then?
No.
Oh, that's good.
But also they, as I said, they don't, the guys that are doing this are not going to respect any sort of boundary or limit anyway. So they just keep going and keep going and keep going until it's finally like, dude, enough. Never going to happen. Thank you. But there's a lot of other guys out there. But as you were saying, just in like when finding friends and that stuff, there's just a certain guy who is never going to really play by the rules and think that he is above it all.
Yeah, I can't figure that one out. I mean, I could see when you're younger, you're more willing to keep pushing. But as you get older, just not to be able to read somebody else's signs is such a, it's so disappointing to me
right.
in so many different situations.
So what about in kind of work, the working world? As we mentioned earlier, there are a lot of people who like to cross that line, who either they like to talk a lot about certain things that is just not our business and is not appropriate for work. But then there are those other people who want to be asking all those questions.
Yeah, I'm assuming you get that a lot because you deal with a lot more people on a daily basis in your work life than I do. So I'm assuming in situations where you're giving someone advice on career that they sort of wander off to another path. How do you deal with that? Like, what do you do?
Definitely in my job, I hear a lot of things I really don't need to hear or know or want to know about. But more so than with gay men, but with straight women, they want to know all the stuff. They want to know all the details. And they want to ask all these inappropriate questions. Be like, you know, hey, girl, I've got this. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. Or the, you know, they're always like, oh, come on, all gay guys do this. No, they don't.
It's like, we're not cookie cutter.
Yeah,
man, that's we're the not. Thing, we're right? all very different shapes, sizes, emotions, right. feelings. It's like, we're just not like all, the, we're not else. All your best friend. We're just not.
Right. So definitely in some work situations there are a lot of gay men though who are like, oh, wait, do you hear what I did all weekend? Like, don't really want to know that stuff about you. Thank you very much. This is not the place to be talking about it. And also, as we discussed, this social world, social settings, not just bars, but a lot of social places is where a lot of us mature gay men decide there are no limits, there are no boundaries.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, like I said, I was at an event and someone came up and started like touching me all over, just, oh, but we're out having fun and we're all drinking and not appropriate. Or
it was this person was coupled as well?
Yes.
See, that's an interesting little ball right there to unravel. Because, like, what does his partner think when he sees his husband pawing somebody else? That must affect right? his husband's boundaries, right?
Oh, my God. If my husband was to do that, I would be like, excuse me, sir, we're leaving. And I'm going to have a little talk with you, you know? That I could only imagine. If that is the boundaries that they have set
right.
within their relationship, that they have an open relationship or that they can whatever flirt or whatever, great. As long as they set that together. But if they haven't, I could only imagine how that would hurt the other person.
Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting situation.
Well, it's, you know, people are weird. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Like, why at this age are we still doing all this 15-year-old boy stuff?
Well, and like you said, if you want to do it, at least be honest and open about it and be willing to look at somebody else's boundaries in the process and get where the other person is coming from as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do what you want to do. But if you see you're making somebody else uncomfortable, don't do it. It's not that hard.
Yeah. It's just... unfortunately, these guys we're talking about, they just don't stop. They just keep pushing and pushing. Like, how far can I take this?
I do think because there are those people who will eventually just go, oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, right. They wear you down. You throw your bobber in the water enough, you're going to get a bite eventually.
And we're going to talk about this in our next section of, like, what are we supposed to do? But a lot of people... just go, oh, well, that's just Bob. Yeah, just, you know, that's just the way he is kind of thing. I don't think excusing someone's behavior like that is a good thing to do.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, so this also is going to be come on to you a bit more. Boundaries, sexual boundaries. This has to be something that, you know, you set before you're going to have sex with someone, correct? Are there very specific boundaries?
So on apps, you could put what you're into or what you're not into.
Right.
And so on some level, that's already setting a boundary. But I'm not one of those persons, if I'm out on a date with somebody and we go home and, you know, we fool around, I don't give a laundry list of what's acceptable to me. You just sort of feel it in the moment. And if something doesn't work for me, I'm like, that... please don't do that. Because there's this, like you're making out with somebody and all of a sudden they slap you on your ass. I'm like, yeah, don't hit me. Because again, okay. I have stuff tied to that. I realize that's my issue. And that's why I have such a really tight boundary when it comes to someone putting their hands on me in a particular way. It's like, do not hit me. That there's a really, I mean, it's not even a line. It's a Grand Canyon that you don't do that. You don't do that to me.
Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, it's respected. And then the person in that 1 out of 10 situation, the person sort of thinks I'm kidding or doesn't take me seriously. And then it will slap me on the ass again. And I'm like, we're done. No mas. I'm out. And they're like, well, okay. Why are you getting so upset? I'm like, I told you once. If I tell you not to poke me in the eye one time, you don't do it a second time because you think I'm kidding.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's a big sexual boundary for me, is like, do not put your hands on me in an inappropriate way, like hitting. It's just not acceptable.
Well, definitely sexual boundaries need to be respected, because there's so much, like you said, that's tied back to something else. And, you know, you have to really kind of tread lightly.
And then I've had guys who would ask me, are you into spanking? And I'm like, no, okay. I'm not. It's not my thing. And, you know, if that's what you're looking for, then, you know, sorry, I'm not your guy. And again, that's one of those situations where 9 times out of 10, this person respected my boundaries and asked me first, right? And more often than not, they're like, oh, no, it's no big deal. It's just, I just asked. And then, you know, we proceed.
So let's talk about a little bit about emotional boundaries. These are boundaries that need to be set no matter what part of your life, whether it's at work or social or, you know, emotional boundaries really hurt, can hurt, you know.
I think these are the most precarious ones because, again, it's usually tied to something very strong or a situation that we found ourselves into. So the emotional ones are, I think, the ones that we need to tread lightly more often than not around.
Okay, so do you have an example of what an emotional boundary could be?
For me, an emotional boundary would be, would this be an emotional boundary? I tell people pretty much up front, don't lie to me. Like, you know, if you're on a couple of dates and somebody asks me, what's your biggest button? I'm like, just don't lie to me.
Yeah.
You could tell me anything. You could say anything to me and I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to dismiss you. But if I found out you lied to me, then that to me is all bets are off on that one. Because if, you know, if you lie about small things, you're going to lie about big things. And I have emotional issues tied to that because I was in a relationship with somebody for 4 years who was a pathological liar. So that's a really, really, really deep emotional scar for me.
Okay.
What about you? I mean, cause you guys had to talk about this at the beginning of it, like what's acceptable to you and what's not, right?
Well, I'm not sure. We didn't like sit down and discuss all that stuff because we were young and, you know, we discovered all of these things about ourselves. Definitely, you know, we both are very vocal about what we do like, what we don't like, what we do respect of each other, what we expect from each other. But I just actually saw an emotional boundary being crossed, and it was with a pregnant woman. And this guy came up to her and he said, damn, you're really big. And the look on her face she was just crushed. I mean, that's something you just don't say to a very heavily pregnant woman, you know, that hurt her emotionally.
And what a stupid, because of course she's big. She's carrying another human inside of her. Right. Like, what is that?
And why do you want to make her feel bad about that? And that is a boundary that I see a lot of gay men our age crossing. When they know something's going to hurt or bother another guy, and they say it. For whatever reason, to make themselves feel better or feel, you know, bigger. But that is something that I see often with our community.
And I do think comes down to exactly what you just said, to make themselves feel bigger or to make them feel a little superior. That,
right.
You know, hurting somebody for some strange reason is their go-to.
Yeah. It's unbelievable that we're going to hurt each other within our community. I know we talk about this all the time, that all we have is each other. And like, why are we not supporting ourselves? But I do see that. And I am on the other end of that often, where somebody will come and try to like cut me down in some way in a very like trivial, like ha, 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 kind of, oh, I was just kidding kind of thing. And you're like, no, you weren't.
Those are those are the attempts at the deepest cuts, is when the person says, oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no.
I didn't really mean that. Yeah, you did. There was a reason for it. You know the line that you crossed, or you know the line that you pushed so far. You know, luckily, we've discussed this a lot too, that I have been on the end of people, you know, criticizing or judging, whatever, since I was 20. And I do have a rather thick skin, but there are times when it gets through and you're like, Why? Why did you have to do that? I get it made you feel better about you, but especially within friends, those are some lines that you really should not cross. Why do you need to hurt somebody else?
I'm actually wondering if on a deeper level, do they actually feel better about themselves? Because I think on some level, they know what they're doing. I don't know. Because I know, you know, there are times you say something flippant or, you know, in a moment and you realize it was hurtful. I'm one of those people that'll be lying in bed sort of going, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I feel so bad that I hurt this person. So there has to be some recognition on these other people's part where they know exactly what they're doing and they can't feel really good about it. I would hope. Yeah. I would hope anyway. Maybe again, you know, call me Pollyanna.
Yes, it's nice to be the Pollyanna, but you also have to kind of step back and take a look, like, exactly why you're doing this. You know, I think a lot of people who are crossing these boundaries or who are kind of pushing the limits are people themselves that do not have boundaries of their own. And one of the reasons why is that they have never learned how to create boundaries or that boundaries are needed. You see this, again, Michael, this is something we say all the time, hurt people hurt people.
I was just going to say, maybe it's because their boundaries, even, you know, from a young age were never respected. You know, like a lot of guys our generation, and we've talked about this before too, you're called a queer, you're called a fag, you're treated brutally. And so your boundaries aren't being respected. So the only way you learn to survive is to turn that around and do the same thing to other people.
Well, exactly. I mean, they did not have appropriate models showing them what boundaries are and how not to cross them. So yeah, they're out there. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why they are crossing those lines, why they are trying to feel better about themselves by just, I'm just kidding, whatever. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We know what boundaries are. We know where we should have them in our lives. We know that there's a lot of guys in our community who are not respecting these rules that we're setting. So let's talk about that. How can we set specific and healthy boundaries in our lives? What's a way that you feel is an appropriate way to set certain boundaries?
Well, again, this is such an individual process. Setting clear boundaries for yourself. I think first you have to take that step and figure out what's acceptable for you and what is not. And then obviously there's going to be gray areas depending on a situation where it's like, I'm going to let that slide. But to be really clear with yourself first, and then to take that a step further and to be really clear with other people, as challenging as it may be, to let them know you're making me uncomfortable, I think is the first step in the process of setting healthier boundaries.
Yeah, definitely. You're brilliant with your A. You've got to set them for yourself, and you have to be really specific as to where the lines are being drawn and why you're drawing these lines in certain places. And then, yes, communicating, but Michael, I'm not a confrontational kind of guy.
But, you know, I think you could approach a situation like that in a very loving and healthy manner. Like if somebody grabs your ass, just say to them, you know what? I don't like when somebody does that. So could you please not do that again? Because I've been in that situation a number of times. I say that good portion of the guys will go, oh, I'm really sorry.
Right.
And then oddly enough, we have a great conversation, right? As opposed to the person who's like, oh, you should lighten up. I'm like, actually, no, I shouldn't. Because you don't know my story. And you don't know why I don't want somebody I don't know putting their hands on me.
See, all of that strength that you're exhibiting is making me so uncomfortable. Like, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm thinking, yeah, if somebody does that to me, I'm always like, and walking, like, trying to step away, step out of that situation. I am not the guy who's going to say, like, no, I don't like you to do this, you know? And yes, I too have had a lot in my past, you know, a lot of, as I've said, a lot of Me Too moments where confronting that person is not my thing. Getting myself out of the situation is. So, you know, it depends on the person who you are. If you are this strong macho man like Michael here, you know, saying something, confronting the situation is an easier thing.
I have to be honest with you, this strong macho man that you see before you
didn't
exist for the first 50 years of my life, because I was never able to say that to people.
Okay.
And then through practice and putting myself in, being in situations like that, I learned to take my own power back, because this did not come easy to me. So, you know, then just give it a go. The next time somebody puts you in an awkward situation, say to them in a very nice and loving way, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Doesn't have to go any further than that. But I think more often than not, you may be surprised, because I was. And then I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I say this all these years? Because the majority of people are going to go, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, so you do got to you got to push your boundaries as well, you know.
I understand that, but I also understand that when in that situation, I don't know. For me, like I said, getting myself out of the situation is a much better thing. Maybe then later confronting it, but when it's happening, I don't know if that's something that I can do. And I know there's a lot of guys like me out there. So definitely, you know, setting the boundary for ourselves, then definitely communicating in some way. Even as I said, I'm not a hugger. When people come up to me to do that, I always kind of like try to turn away a bit. Or, you know, those people who are always kissing and like turning, like, no, okay, oh, great, you know. So somehow kind of setting your limits, showing how your limits are set. Yeah.
And if extricating yourself from the situation is the best way you can deal with it in the moment, then by all means do that. And like you said, maybe confront it later when you're more not in the flight mode.
Yeah.
And you have a moment to sort of regroup.
I definitely feel that that's something that works for me, because in that moment of panic and, oh my God, and, you know, whatever, I don't want to make somebody else feel bad. It's like to like call them out, especially in a social setting, or in a setting where there are other people, to be like, no, don't do this to me. You know, and I'm,
that's a very different approach. And that is not one I would recommend. But let me ask you a question though, because you just said that you don't want to make the other person feel bad.
Yes.
Well, if that other person didn't care about how they were making you feel by being inappropriate, does that necessarily give that other person your blessing on not confronting it? You know what I mean? If
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay. And this is the world of the fucked up Tom here, you know? So I get what you're saying. And how ridiculous is that? You're like, I don't want this guy who's making me feel bad to feel bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fucked up. They're, you know, you just learn how to hopefully deal with things better as you get older. And confronting them is a big part of that process. Right.
Well, again, for me, though, it's step out of the situation, go somewhere else, think about it, figure out how to then approach it. And I will go, you know, go back another time, especially if it is a friend or somebody who is in my, you know, close circle in life, to be like, dude, no, that's a big no. Like, we can't, no, whatever. If it's someone that I don't know, no, I'm just going to remove myself from the situation and hopefully never see that person again, because I'm a big wuss, just saying.
Yes, I've learned that about you, that
you're not
that you're a big wuss, that confrontation is a little bit more of a challenge. And I
definitely
don't call it confrontation. There's confrontation that's unhealthy, and then there's confrontation, I think, that benefits you individually and possibly also the other person, because it gives them more of an understanding about who you are, right? So, and again, that's why when I started doing this and calling people out, I was stunned at how many people were willing to listen to me. And again, like I said, I'm just like, why the f*** did I wait all these years to just call somebody on something that made me uncomfortable? I spent 40 some odd years feeling uncomfortable because I was like you. I didn't want to make the other person feel bad.
Right.
But more often than not, the other person may respect your boundaries and go, oh, I'm genuinely sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay. So, maybe I need to work on that a little bit. I think we all need to work on a whole bunch of things in our lives. Let's throw it out to all of these guys who are watching and listening to us, and they are the most amazing guys, are they not?
Without a doubt.
Just the response that we're getting from you, or how you are all chiming in by leaving us comments, sending us notes, emails, it's so great. But one of the really greatest things is watching how then you're reacting to each other. And you're like, you know, whatever topic we're talking about, like I said, we're just starting these conversations and we want all of you to continue them. But to watch someone comment and then go like, oh, you know what, this is what I did. And then someone else say, you know what, that worked for me too. Yeah. So I would love to throw it out to all you guys out there and let us know how you deal with people who are crossing your boundaries. Are you a fight or a flight guy? Are you, you know, confrontational? Are you... what is it? Who are you? How do you do this? Please leave us comments. If you're watching us on YouTube, as Michael said, like and subscribe, please. But then leave us a comment and tell us, how do you deal with these guys who are constantly crossing the line?
Yeah, and we so appreciate your taking the time to actually share your stories with us, like we share our stories with you. It's a privilege.
It's exactly why Michael and I are doing this, because, as I said, we want to start these conversations that guys our age should be having, and we want you to join in. So wherever it is you're listening, leave us comments. Let us know how you feel about this boundary thing, or tell us, are you one of those guys who just doesn't really care about someone's boundaries? You know, because we know you're out there as well. Michael, how else can people, besides on YouTube, how else can people get in contact with us?
Yeah, you guys can reach us across social media at the moniker No Two Gays About It. And just remember, it's the number two, and that's on Facebook, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, all across the board. And you could also watch us on YouTube, like Tom said. And we're going to ask a favor of you guys. Just take a moment and hop over to our Patreon. That is patreon.com/No Two Gays About It. And check us out there. We just added a new tier where you get to do a monthly Zoom call with me and Tom and talk about whatever it is you want. Maybe give us ideas about what show content you want to hear.
Yeah.
And while you're there, find a tier that suits you and help us keep this show going. And there are a couple of guys out there at the executive producer role that I would love to say thank you to. One is John Bonasante. The other is Ted Zalewski and Jason Cruz. Seriously, guys, we can't tell you how much we appreciate your giving us the opportunity to share with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. We really, really appreciate you, as we appreciate everybody who is watching and listening to us. And unfortunately, I have yet another favor I want to ask all of you, because I am incredibly needy. But we really do want to get our show out there to more and more gay guys who maybe don't have access to a lot of friend groups or big gay communities. And the only way we can do that is if you spread the word about us. So if you like what you're watching or listening to, and so many of you write to us and tell us that you do, spread the word about us. Tell your friends, check out these two really annoying gay guys on YouTube and watch them. They are hysterical how they're just crazy. Whatever. Spread the word, please. All right, Michael, I think we have set enough boundaries for the day. I am going to do my best to stand up for myself and be a little bit more confrontational in a very kind and gentle way. What are you going to do?
I'm going to continue not to be confrontational, but to stand my ground and continue to push my boundaries. That's what I'm going to continue to do.
Awesome. Own your power. All right. Until next time, Michael, thank you very much.
Until next time, Tom, thank you very much. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
See ya.